All right, so we are live.
What's
Fighter up? And the Chef. I'm here with my boy Richie, and this week we'll be talking about a few topics, so stay tuned. I want to drop some knowledge on you. It's been a minute since we got together.
Yes,
so,
it has.
Richard, you want to give us an update? Let us know if you're working on anything.
The funny thing is, this whole year has been all recovery. So if you ask me what the highlight of my 30s are, or being 30 years old, is just recovering from this concussion.
Oh, yeah.
The whole fucking year. And it's finally going over, so I can finally do a little bit of sparring. Hit pads a little bit. I can jack my heart rate up as high as I want. That feels nice, of course. So it's like I finally got my drug back. And just looking for the next step now. Probably going to fight next year.
Nice,
early
nice.
Next year, yeah.
So like today's topic will touch up on the concussion aspects a little bit. But Richie got a little banged up because he got a little... too overzealous, and you know, both of us were turning 30 this year, so it was a big milestone for us. And you know, I 30, what can I say? You know, you still feel like you're 16 inside. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel. You know, the maturity thing
still watch an anime when 30 years old.
Yeah, does the maturity thing doesn't exactly come at as a progression, I guess. But let's get into today's topic. So today, let's talk about mental health. I think that's very important, and it's on top of everyone's mind these days, and especially approaching 30, and those of us who are 30, you kind of have this false sense of what you're supposed to be doing, you know, in your 30s. Like me personally, like I just thought maybe I should just give up on rap music and hip hop because, you know, you don't live that life, so why keep projecting that message internally. But before we get into the whole mental aspect things, tell us a little bit about what you learned from, you know, this concussion that you've been dealing with, and we'll kind of tie that into how to better protect your brain for mental health.
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing I learned from this concussion is just learning how to appreciate what my lifestyle was before, and just appreciating, you know, how enjoyable an activity really is. Before you lose it for a certain amount of time. And then what I really learned is that just being, you know, competing for like 5 years or so at a certain level, I'm doing a certain amount of stimulus to my body for that long. And when you do that, when you're secreting a certain amount of hormone for that long, it's almost like you've been taking a drug for however many years, right? And now all of a sudden I've been taken off the drug that I've been using for 5 years and going almost like to bare minimal, where I couldn't even run or walk or run at a very, very fast speed because of all the high impact. And that coming from like, you know, a very, very intense training regime and not being able to do that, it fucks up your head like big time. And need to learn how to basically just be at peace with the very, very small things.
Did you get into like bonsai trees and like all that stuff? Where you like start clipping little miniature like birds
Holy
or something?
Shit, that would have been a great idea. I think that would have helped a lot. But the biggest thing I got into was meditation.
Okay.
Because they told me the first week or so, I just couldn't do much. I had to sit in my basement and like have the lights dimmed. Couldn't go outside too much. And even like interacting socially was like just a lot on my head.
Okay.
So it just be like sitting there for a week and doing nothing. So I thought to myself, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna meditate. Might as well do something. So a lot of work into the breathing, a lot of work into how to just breathe deeper. After that whole period when I started to intensify things, that's when I got into more of the Wim Hof breathing, to where I could actually physically stimulate myself a little bit more. So it was just like trying to stimulate myself with the breathing as much as I could. I couldn't be, you know, sweating and grinding it out, but I could be breathing very deeply and almost like trying to take in those feelings without actually doing them. So I could satisfy myself mentally without actually doing the activity. And that comes back to a lot of people talk about how you can visualize, and actually just visualizing is actually like real practice. And that's basically what I was doing, just trying to visualize practice. If I couldn't train, I'm going to train in my head, basically. And that was a cool experience for the first few months. And then afterwards, there's a gradual protocol that you go back into the activity slowly, right?
Yeah, it was just what fascinates me about concussion is that prehistorically, right? I mean, back in Roman days, and you have like Spartan soldiers and stuff, that must have been a lot of concussion and trauma that they sustain.
Yeah.
But you don't really hear about it in history, right? Like, I mean, it's not like the army's gonna stop marching and stop seeking battle if, you know, you get all dinged up.
For sure.
But from modern day science, what we learn is that essentially it's like, you know, your whole wiring system gets jumbled up, right? So you gotta start everything off from baseline, wait for everything to reconnect.
Yeah.
Like, how did that feel internally?
It felt very weird, because first you gotta imagine, like, the most simple tasks were, they become challenging, basically. Like, even just moving your eyes all the way to the left or to the right, there's a lot of restriction even with your eye movement and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So just it almost like those things became the exercise in my daily regime, right? And you just become super mindful and paranoid of everything. Like, you know, you just bump your head on something, or if your heart rate goes too high, you start to feel like a lot of, for me, I felt a lot of pressure in my head at times, where I could feel the blood just like pumping at my temples, where you could kind of hear your heartbeat in your ear, usually when you're working out, but you're just sitting there for whatever reason, or you might be, you just slightly walked up the stairs and you could hear that heartbeat in your head at times, right? So certain things trigger it, and then you're like, oh shit, should I be doing this? Should I be eating that? Should I be looking at the TV? Like,
you get paranoid.
Yeah, you start to get really paranoid with everything. For me, the biggest symptoms were light and sound. So I had to really be particular with what I was looking at, what lights I had around me. And then the next part was if I could even work. I had to take off work for a whole month.
Wow.
Like, oh shit, should I be holding pads? Could I be, you know, sitting around the weights because they were clanging so loud?
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of paranoia when it starts to kick in. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think what the general public, most people don't know about, is that your EEG and EKG, your brain rhythm and your heart rhythm, is they have a relationship. And you could even get concussed apparently if you get hit in the chest really hard.
Oh wow.
So you know, like, at that point, once the relationship is on rocky terms or it's a little bit more fragile, any kind of sudden shock, your body starts amplifying, starts cascading into this feeling of anxiety, or feeling of like, oh, like spiraling out of, like, it's everything starts escalating. Did you find that at all?
I actually found that in the later stages, where some of the symptoms are starting to go down, and then it wasn't, I always thought that if I re-aggravated this concussion, it would be through direct trauma or something, like going too much in sparring. But there's times I got hit in sparring and it was okay. Like, maybe it was a little bit more than I should have. I was okay. But then there was one time I decided to, like, on my second workout of the day, do my usual 1200 reps of like knees and kicks on the bag and punches. And it was actually the punches on the bag that re-aggravated my concussion and a lot of the symptoms. So I had no more issues with sight, with light and sound, but I was doing, like, you know, just repetitive punches on the bag just to build that muscle memory. And it's part of my routine where it's like long, steady duration. It's not even hard, but just very, very long and consistent punches. And just on the hard bag, I guess that vibration through my body, the punches are a lot closer to the head compared to vibration through the kick.
Yep.
So that vibration through the punch, it brought everything back.
Wow.
And it set me back for another like 1 or 2, 3 months. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck? Can't even punch the bag.
Start from baseline. Like, fucking, it gets a little upsetting.
Back to baseline again. And it was fucked up, man. I was like, okay, like, I can't spar. I can't punch the bag. So I got to be like super particular with my training. Yeah. And then the second time that it kind of re-aggravated was just sleep. I didn't have enough sleep for the day and the symptoms came back. It's a very chemical thing. Once you affect the chemicals in your body, like that day when I was doing the 1200 reps on the bag, my body was probably in a very stressed state because it was already my second workout and stuff. So just that little bit of vibration just tipped it over the edge too. And then the other day, with just the lack of sleep, just itself, your body's so prone in that state that almost anything can trigger it off, right?
Sleep is so important. You know, I think that's a huge factor, not just in everyday recovery, but also like mental health in general, right? Like, people are a little edgy when they don't get enough sleep, or, you know, there's an old saying, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
For sure.
And like, let's just segue into the topic of mental health, being an athlete and being in the fighting, you must have seen some characters, right?
Oh, yeah. And totally.
Not everybody's super stable at the gym. So how do you feel about, the whole combat situation and the combat industry and the martial art and how that, because it could do both. It could be both ways, right? Because some people find peace through training and regimen and discipline, but then some people are just looking for that chaos storm and they don't want to dive in their head first all the time.
Right. Yeah, it's tough. You see a lot of characters there. There's, when I first got into it, I always felt I was like almost not in the right place. Like, who are these guys? You know, am I like these guys? I'm not like these guys.
Yeah,
these guys are just like, you know, like, I felt like there's a lot of mindless characters. They're just in it for the physical grind, and they just like, you could see their mind is just programmed a certain way where they just like to hurt people. Shark mode. Yeah. And then being a martial artist, so it's a little bit, not too much of that. I like to hurt people now, but it's also like, if it goes two ways. Like, I enjoy people trying to hurt me as well.
Yeah, it's not flow.
Yeah, right. But there's some way where some people it's just one way. Like, I just want to fuck people up, and that's why I'm in this sport, kind of thing. So, but when you see those characters, you just kind of recognize everyone's got their own element to them as a fighter, and then. Each of those elements, it does give them strength in the fight, but everyone is an element and everyone's got a weakness. So no matter what kind of character I run into, I'm always at peace where I feel like, you know, they might be this way, but, you know, there's always a weaker side to them. You know?
I see.
Whoever you see on the front is really not that person you see on the front. It's like that outward behavior, right? The strongest guys in the combat game may not actually be the strongest guys behind the scenes when they're alone in the basement by themselves, you know?
Yeah.
I think a concussion really brings that out of people, because when you've hit your limit, your true self comes out. And then, you know, spend enough time in isolation. You know, I did learn about myself through the concussion and stuff, you know, how I was like really addicted to competing in the sport and just realizing that within myself. But you know, just going through those experiences, you know, other characters in the sport, it eventually just doesn't faze you at all. It's just like, it is how it is.
Yeah, in my line of work, you know, in the cooking and chefing in the F&B industry, there's a lot of different characters too. They're very polarizing, and I find that with that industry, it's just like the lack of sleep, everything cascades and you just burn out eventually, and you know, you're left, you know, in a shadow of yourself. But let's focus on the positive aspects of, you know, mental health. Like, is there anything that you could give suggestion to, or any kind of caveat that you have that aids towards mental health? I know you mentioned meditation, but would you mind sharing with us your meditation regimen or your techniques?
At first, I can share with you my initial regimen, I guess. It's just something I learned from Kung Fu. So it was called Qigong. And Qigong is an active meditation. It's like basically a couple sequences with the hands and with the body, the legs, using the whole body, twisting and turning in all different ways. But the key is that you're breathing at a certain part of the motion, inhaling at a certain part of motion, and exhaling at a certain part of the motion. And just doing that repetitively, you get into a zone. And I like Qigong because you can actually feel certain sensations sometimes. So automatically your mind already goes inside your body, and you're paying attention to how your body feels with each inhale and exhale. They say with the monks, you know, when you do this practice a lot, you can kind of control your blood flow. And for me, I always feel a lot of blood flow. I can push it to my hands. And that's what you're focusing on, like concentrating all the blood flow to your hands, and they feel actually very hot afterwards. You know, almost like you could generate a fireball or something.
Wow. Okay. No, okay.
Not really, but that's where I think, you know, the guys from Dragon Ball Z probably got that idea.
Yeah.
Because you know, these people, they can control their body heat. You know, Wim Hof, the monks, they've done a lot of scientific studies where they can control the heat. So you pay attention to those things. I would definitely recommend people getting into Qigong. There's many different variations and different styles, just like there are many different styles of Kung Fu. But My style is very, very simple. My teacher only taught us like 5 different movements, mm-hmm. and I've repeated those movements for my life, before my fights, before when I get sick, when I just need to chill out, calm down, stuff. Qigong has been great for that. But I always recommend having an active meditation routine or something just very regimented at first, definitely if you're starting out. Mm-hmm. But then the longer you do it, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years in, you might realize that, you know, that state of mind translates to everything you do. Mm. And that's the real benefit of meditation in my point of view, because when you can take that and, you know, see walking through your daily life as a meditation, mm-hmm. then you're going to be in a certain zone for the rest of your life. And then you can be in meditation all the time and use those benefits, right? And I tell people all the time, working out is a meditation, right? Running for, you know, those marathon runners, I'm sure they're in the same state when you're running for hours and hours and hours, you know, 6 hours, sometimes 12 hours, those guys that run really long races. That's a state of meditation you have to be in to be able to keep up that, you know, long distance run where it's like so boring and monotonous. On the outside, it seems so boring, but they do it, right?
Okay.
So yeah, that would be mine.
Have you so during recovering from this concussion, like, did you do Qigong as well? Mm-hmm. And did it, like, what was the sensation like? Did it feel like your fire was diminished at all, or
a little bit, because it felt like I couldn't, like, for there's a lot of tensing of the muscles. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tense my muscles as much anymore. I was trying to be a little bit more soft, almost like Tai Chi movements compared to like strong, tense movements. Mm. And then, definitely it kind of graduated a little bit. You know, I had to go slow. At first, it wasn't any movement at all. I was just sitting there and breathing at first. Mm-hmm. And then I got into the movement, and then I got into just attaching it to more activities. Like, I personally like to do the Wim Hof routine during like biking or running or anything, you know, steady state cardio. Mm-hmm. So you're focusing on your breathing while doing that low intensity cardio activity, mm-hmm. just to get in the deeper breaths. And I love that. That's been great.
Yeah, breathing is so key. And I think combination wise, not to try to get too woo-woo here, right? The spirit, breath, wind element, and then the sleeping, like, you know, the polarization of the night and the sun and the day, the circadian rhythm. Mm. There's so much that, you know, in ancient mythology and texts that they allure to, that now with modern day science, we're able to have more concrete proof of such concepts. But it's still hard to motivate people, because I guess everyone's motivated differently, right? Some people be more motivated by facts. They want to know the science. They want to know that it's been proven. Whereas other people, they want to hear a story, right? They want to understand, like, okay, well, what's the transformation going to be like?
Yeah,
how is this going to improve myself? And on that note, like, how do you motivate yourself? Like, do you find that you're more factual, or do you lean more towards the story aspects?
Definitely away from the factual. It's almost more all feeling and instinctive, not even a story, because the story is still pretty rational in my mind, something you have to follow logically, sequentially. For me, it's all feeling. And the key is, I try to share this with people sometimes, but the key is to have their mind quiet enough and patient enough to actually feel the small, subtle differences. And then for me, I'm just a naturally pretty patient person, naturally quiet person, so I can pick up those subtleties, right? But someone who's very loud inside, you know, when they breathe, they don't feel anything from that breath.
Yes.
So they kind of brush over it, like, fuck this, I'm not gonna keep breathing. But they don't know that if they kept doing it, the feelings that you get actually grow. And it becomes a much stronger feeling. Like, for example, just the breath itself, there's certain breaths where, like, you can actually feel it. For me, I feel it right through my head. My dad learned meditation a long time ago, and he always described it as tingling from the nose all the way back to the head, all the way down the spine. And if you look at Taoist practices, they talk about energy circulating around that circle that goes from the spine and down up forward to the front of your body, kind of like a circle like this, right? And I do feel that right down my spine sometimes, especially with the concussion. When I get certain therapies and it hits the right spot, my breath opens up and it just tingles. It feels like, you know, something really, really crazy happened in your life.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, it's my God. It's like a buzz. And you just like, you're so shocked by the moment. And every breath is like kind of, you know, it kind of tingles your body. That's what I get. But now I'm triggering it like in a natural way.
Mm.
When I'm amped up for a fight, I'm in the ring and you get that amped feeling.
Yep.
I can manufacture that now myself. So what I tell people is like your breath is like a key to different drugs and hormones that your body has. You want to feel a certain way, you can unlock it with your breath, and you can control it. And there's certain different types of breath, like just breathing hard and deeply, for example, is just for heart exercise, you know, trigger your sympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. And there's the other side too. So, you know, that's what I tell people. You're just trying to feel what your breath is doing. And it takes a lot of patience because at first it's very subtle, but as your sensitivity goes up, you're going to have more stronger feelings with that breath, you know, physical sensations.
Right. It's a weird paradox I find, because so many people are numb in their day to day. So then they become, they're not aware.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but then like, then they get over trigger and oversensitive to certain stimulations.
That's the funny thing, right?
So yeah. It's like this teeter totter position.
Yeah.
And we know that just people who live daily silent, you know, misery or unhappy with their life over time, that adds a toll, and then mentally they reach a tipping point.
Yeah.
And you know, exercise is a great way. Like competition is a great way to find relief for that. But for the people out there who are still having a hard time finding their itch to scratch, paying attention to their breath is important. But anything else you recommend for them to kind of find something that allows them to be present?
Mm-hmm. What I've been doing lately is trying this with some of my clients. I figure, you know, when someone's so, their life is so chaotic, they're chaotic through their senses, of course, right? Because you hear your staff, or you hear your workplace, that or you see it, you know. So first thing is you got to cut off the senses. And sometimes, you know, meditating and just sitting in a dark, quiet room is not practical. Mm. So you need to have these very practical tools, like simply just put some headphones on to cut out the noise. I can guarantee you, even if you don't have music playing, if you put on a set of headphones and go to work out at the gym, it is a lot better to help you focus compared to not having those headphones, especially if the gym is loud.
Yep.
And then first of all, people don't bother you in the gym if you got headphones on, right? So it's it automatically, people see you in a focused state and you can focus a little bit more. That's the first point, right? But anytime you can turn off the stimulus, right? You need to recognize, how are you physically being stimulated right now? You know, visually, you know, if your clothes are just not right, you know, freaking take off clothes, whatever, you know, turning off the lights is a very good idea, dude. Even though it's 5 or 10 minutes, if you can turn off the lights and just cut out the sound, put yourself in a state of focus some way or another for that quick meditation. And then once you get pretty experienced at it, you can kind of recognize and do that on the go, like in the middle of your day. Like, you know, just go into your car if you're stressed out at work or something. Just go to your car, lower the windows, you know, put on some headphones, do something, right? Or if you're working out, apply that principle to working out as well. Like, you know, there's a reason why a lot of people wear hoodies when they work out, cut off their peripheral vision, make sure it's a little bit more focused, right? So small things like that, headphones, big hoodie on, you know, put like a workhorse, just make yourself very, very narrow. That's it.
The interesting thing that I find is the resistance to that, right? The counter arguments that people just don't, it's like a FOMO argument, right? They don't want to miss out, and like people feel like they need to be part of, they want to be included, because I feel like people have this weird sense of relationship with loneliness.
Yeah.
Right? Because to quiet down, a lot of times people feel like they need to be connected to feel validated.
It's true.
Whereas,
it's true,
you know, if you take the time to really quiet things down, I think you'll find more appreciation for the connections that you do have, but also, you know, you realize that loneliness is just, it's a smoke and mirror situation, right? Because like technically you do live alone, and then you experience the life through a soul perspective and lens, or maybe that's just a more narcissistic way of looking at it. But how would you define like loneliness? How has loneliness as a word and as a concept affected you? Because in combat sports, it's very much a lonely pursuit, right? You're in the ring by yourself, and it's a challenge as an individual sport.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I would see that if there's a time of a lot of loneliness, I never try to avoid it because I just embrace it. Usually what the benefits you get out of that, it can actually make you connect with people more on as the time passes by, because it's almost like a sensitizing period. You stay in that, like, you know, let's call it like a secret chamber, a secret training chamber for a certain amount of time. You're lonely for a certain amount of time. It's very uncomfortable, but when you come out of that, you're very sensitive to everything, and then that itself can help you connect with a lot of people, and it starts to trigger a lot of growth in different ways. Amazing. So I always try to embrace that. Don't ever like go away from the loneliness, right? And I see a lot of people who might get upset in their lives. They're looking for help and stuff, and then, you know, I do want to help them, but I also at the same time feel like they just need to go through it on their own.
Yep.
So I just, you know, I don't do much. I tell them to just keep on going with that and let it just go through it, right? Don't say much to them. And then it seems like a bad thing to do to not just brush someone off, but sometimes they just need to experience it on their own, and you know there's nothing you could do, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So just got to embrace it. Embrace it wholeheartedly, because the more you embrace it, most likely, the quicker you'll get out of it, actually.
Yeah.
So, funny thing is that.
Well, we're coming up on time here. Sorry for the noise, folks. There's renovation going on. But the last caveat is lean into your loneliness, embrace your loneliness, and it's temporary, right? Everything is temporary in this world. So
seasons and cycles.
Absolutely. Without any further ado, until next time, you have any last remarks or anything to add?
That's it. That's all I got, guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Hope to see you soon.
Okay. Stay tuned. Okay. After we get Richie up and running 100%, we're going to have some exciting updates. And hopefully, we're going to see him back in the ring and with some fireworks soon. Ciao, guys.
Peace.